This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. Inshallah, we're going to continue from where we left off. We finished hadith number 7. We are actually on hadith number 8 from Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله ويقيم الصلاة ويؤت الزكاة فإذا فعلوا ذلك عصموا مني دماءهم وأموالهم إلا بحق الإسلام وحسابهم على الله رواه البخاري ومسلم. The hadith here states that this hadith is from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah, said, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ, I have been ordered to fight the people, حَتَّى يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ لُلَّهِ, until they say, La ilaha illallah, and until they bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and that they establish the prayer, and that they give, وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and that they give the zakat. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ, and if they do that, عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءُهُمْ وَأَمْوَالُهُمْ, then عَصَمُوا مِنِّي, their lives and their wealth is protected except by the right of Islam, and وَحِسَابُهُمْ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and their reckoning is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing we have here is أُمِرْتُ. أُمِرْتُ is a passive voice. In the English language you say passive. It is المبني للمجهول. And this, it means that I have been ordered to. Who's ordering? It's not mentioned in the hadith, but it's well known. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the hadith, in here, this is known as the passive voice, and it's permissible. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, and mankind has been made weak, has been created. Mankind is weak. So who created? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if the subject or the person doing it is well known, of course, in the Arabic language, it's permissible. And here we have أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ, I have been ordered to. And so who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith, we have أُمِرْنَا أَنْ نَسْجُدَ عَلَى سَبْعَةِ أَعْظَمٍ. This is this is another hadith that's in Sahih Bukhari, and it's about prayer and making sujood. Umirna, we have been ordered. Who ordered us? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's very well known. So this is in the passive voice. We have been ordered to make sujood on 7 bones or 7 parts of our bodies. And this one mentioned exactly bones. So umirtu means amarani rabbi, my Lord ordered me. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders something, of course, when you say umirtu, this also, I have been ordered to do something. This form of Arabic, this is an indication of a higher level. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, because of his status, because of whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, meaning he, the one who's being ordered, of course, is someone who is one who is great, and of course he's the greatest. But in terms of the Arabic, when you say I have been ordered, it's an indication, like when somebody says, you know, I was ordered to do this. Who is the person that ordered you? Somebody smaller? Somebody weaker than you? No, it's somebody who has more authority, who has the authority to do so. And it's something that, of course, it's well known. So, أن أقاتل الناس. And so that I قاتل. The word أن أقاتل means to, from the word قاتل means to kill. But when you say قاتل means to fight. قاتل means to fight. You can fight somebody. And it's more general. When you fight someone, you might kill that person or you might not kill that person. Al-qatl, when you kill someone, qatala, it means to kill someone, it's more specific. So when the word qatala, qatala here means to fight. And it is, al-muqatala is not the same as qatl. Fighting is not the same as killing, right? But sometimes fighting involves killing also. It doesn't mean that there's no killing and fighting when you fight somebody. Meaning here, what is the fight? What is fight here? This is al-jihad fi sabilillah. This is jihad fi sabilillah. And what is the purpose of jihad fi sabilillah? The purpose of jihad fi sabilillah is no other reason than i'la kalimatillah. It is to raise La ilaha illallah in status. In other words, the reason why you're doing so, it is because of La ilaha illallah and no other reason. No other reason. And so, when you're fighting somebody, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ. Sometimes you have been ordered, sometimes we're ordered to fight some people. Why? Because this is an order from Allah so that they receive the message of La ilaha illallah. And they receive the message of La ilaha illallah. And sometimes when a person fights, it is because of also, are you ordered to fight? If there's a Muslim government, Muslim ruler, and there are people who are not following the orders of, you know, of the state, of this, the Muslim the Khilafah, then we're also ordered to fight to bring about peace. So the fighting itself, the purpose of it is to bring about peace. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اِقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. If two groups of believers, they اقتتلوا, if they fight each other, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا, meaning if there's a conflict between them, then you have to try to reconcile. فَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. If one group is transgressing against the other, meaning they're in the wrong. فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Then fight those who transgress until they return to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until they return to following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the reason for fighting them? If they leave the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if they transgress against maybe the Muslim government, meaning you might have some people who are in the wrong and they're fighting, they're trying to break off or cause problem or cause mischief in the Muslim country, then if we're ordered to join to fight, even if they say that they're Muslims, but if they're causing problems, to try to keep them to do what? To make them come back to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make them come back to the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rightful Khalifa, and if we have one, and so this order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us because we said umirtu hatta yashhadu an la ilaha illallah, hatta yashhadu an la ilaha illallah. What does this mean? Some scholars have said حَتَّى يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. حَتَّى here is in order that they say لا إله إلا الله. حَتَّى لِتَعْلِيلِ. تَعْلِيلِ is what? Ta'lil is the reasoning for it. The reason why we fight, so that they say La ilaha illallah. And there's another, when you say Hatta, there's another meaning. Hatta also means Lil Ghaya, which means until. Until. You fight, so you're fighting somebody, why? You fight them until they say La ilaha illallah. Or you fight them because, in order for them to say La ilaha illallah. It has two meanings. You fight them in order for them to say La ilaha illallah. Or you fight them until they say La ilaha illallah. But what does it mean in this verse? Some scholars have said it means this, and some scholars have said it means that. But the stronger opinion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is that until they say La ilaha illallah. Because once they say La ilaha illallah, then you stop. Right, once they say La ilaha illallah, then you stop. And in other words, you fight them until that happens. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us. By default, of course, fighting and killing is something that's not permissible by default. But when an order is given why? Hatta yashhadu, until they testify. Shahida yashhadu means until they testify. You fight them until they testify. That means that they testify with their tongue, say La ilaha illallah, and they believe with their heart. But if someone, you don't know what's in somebody's heart. You don't know what in somebody's heart. So if somebody says La ilaha illallah and that's all you have, it's not up to you to judge whether that person is sincere or not. That person is sincere or not. And you fight, why? Allah ilaha, until they say and they testify that there's no deity of worship except Allah, which means La ilaha. There's no ilah. Ilah is that which is worship. And the meaning of it is La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. There is no object of worship that is right, that should be rightfully worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what La ilaha illallah means. And that's why when you say there's no God, other people will say, no, there are many gods. You know, the Buddhists will say they worship Buddha. Right? And the Christians will say, you know, we worship Jesus. We worship Jesus. We think Jesus is God. And others will say, you know, the cow or whatever it is that they worship. But all of the things that they worship and they call them as gods, those gods have no right to worship. So when we say La ilaha illallah, it's not a statement that means that there's no God. It means that there is no God that's worthy of worship. Because somebody will object and say, no, there's another God. We worship our God. What are you saying? There's no God. There are many gods, right? Yeah, you can call them gods. The Greek have many gods. But none of those gods that you call gods, they are not worthy. They don't have the right to be worshipped. If you worship them, that means you're in the wrong. Why? Because they didn't create the heavens and the earth. They didn't create you. They cannot benefit nor harm. And you're worshiping that which cannot benefit you nor harm you, and you're worshiping someone that is not rightful, and it's not right for you to worship. So you say, La ilaha illallah, that's La ilaha illallah, that's what it means. And so, everything else that people worship is false. The only one that is deserving of worship is the one who created you. Who create, Ya ayyuha nasu taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. O people, Allah, the first order of Allah, Ya ayyuha nas, worship the one who, why should you worship? Because He created you. So if somebody worships any other God, somebody worships the cow, did that cow create you? No. If somebody worships Jesus, did Jesus create you? Even the Christians will say, Jesus did not create. And if somebody worships those idols, did those idols create you? No, they didn't create you. It is the one who created you, the one who controls all affairs, all the whole world, and that's the one who's deserving of worship. Now, some people might say, you know, like, you guys believe in God, right? You guys believe in God. And so they say, okay, you, who created you? And so a person might say, well, then if you're saying God created you, okay, then some people, the shaitan might come, who created God? Right? Who created God, right? The shaitan will come and say that. And so it's like, you know, some people, you know, if somebody bakes a cake, right? Doesn't make somebody bakes a cake, like a baker bakes a cake, puts in the oven. The baker baked the cake. Well, who baked the baker? Is it necessary, like, some, okay, he made a cake, but you don't say, oh, who baked the baker? Why? Is a cake the same as the baker? No. Allah is the creator. But he's not like us. He's not like us. Right? You don't say, okay, who created the baker baked the cake. Then who baked the baker then? Who baked the baker? Nobody baked the baker. The baker is the baker. He bakes a cake. The cake is something that he made. But he's not a cake. Nobody baked him. He's not a cake. And so that's why Allah is different. Allah laysa kamithlihi shay. And that's why when we say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, we say Qul huwa Allah. The shaitan, when he comes and says that, what do we say? He says, who created Allah? Okay. We say Qul huwa Allah ahad. Say Allah is one. Right? Allah is one. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, nor is he begotten. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there's nothing like unto him. And so Allah is not like, you know, when you're saying that, when you say, well, okay, you say that Allah created us, right, created you. Who created your father? And who created them? Who created them? And then who created Allah? It's not the same. Do you understand? Allah is above. Allah is above. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all. And he says, laysa kamithlihi shay. There's nothing like unto him. There's nothing like, he's one, there's nothing like unto him. He begets not, nor is he begotten. Meaning he does not, he's not like us, like humans. He doesn't give birth, and nobody gives birth to him. Right? Nobody gives birth to him. So like I said, you know, when somebody makes something, a cook, when he cooks something, he makes something. You don't say who baked him, who cooked him. Who cooked him? He cooked. He's the cook. And he cooked this food. But he's not the food. Right? He's not the food. You don't say who cooked him, who cooked him. Because it's different. Allah is greater than all. Allah is above all of that. And there's nothing like unto him. He's not like his creation. He's not like his creation. It's like the baker is not like the cake. Right? Well, he's not like his creation. He's above. And so Allah is the first and he's the last. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. He begets not. He does not give birth like us, you know, like humans. And nobody gives birth to him. He is the one that's deserving of worship. La ilaha illallah means there is no deity worthy of worship. What is worship? Worship is anything that you do that is pleasing to Allah. Anything that you do that's pleasing to Allah is worship. So if you love your parents, then it's worship because it's something that's pleasing to Allah. Even if it's an action of the heart. If you hope in Allah, it's worship. When you remember Allah, it's worship. When you give in charity, it's worship. Because all of these actions are pleasing to Allah. When you pick up trash, it's worship. When you go and work and take care of your family in a halal manner, it's worship. Because it's pleasing to Allah and it's an order from Allah. And then he says, حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. That Muhammad, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he, of course, Muhammad is the name that is generally used for the Prophet of Islam, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has, of course, other names, right? Other names, Ahmad, right? And there are other names that he mentions. We mentioned some of them in the Seerah class. And so he says here, who is saying this? It is he himself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying this. He could say, right? He said, I have been ordered to fight the people until they testify that there's no deity of worship except Allah. Wa anni Rasulullah. Right? He could say that, but he says, Wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Why? When you mention yourself in a third person form, it is to raise a status. Like, you know, when you say, or when somebody who's a, you know, a leader or a king, and he says, I am ordering you to do this now. And he can say I, but if he's the president or the king, he can say, the king is ordering to do this. And if he's the king that's saying it, what's he trying to, what is that, what do you benefit from that? The king is saying that. You're trying to say that you're raising your status, the status. Like the person who is ordering and telling you to this is someone should be listened to, right? And so, wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And he is Muhammad when he's saying this. But it's a form that of greater respect to show his level of, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's very humble, of course, but Allah has raised his status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, so what does that mean? That means if a person, there might be some people who say la ilaha illallah, but they don't believe that Muhammad is Rasulullah. Right, because there are some Muslims, sometimes they say, we follow the Qur'an, whatever is in the Qur'an we listen to. But we reject the Sunnah. Like we reject the Sunnah. And if they are causing mischief and problem in the community, when they say they reject the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, so we only follow the Qur'an, in a Muslim country, if they have a group, then they are fought until they except La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, meaning they also follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa yuqimu salah, and they have to establish the prayer. What kind of prayers are these? These are the obligatory prayers, of course. These are the obligatory prayers, because if they did not pray the sunnah prayers, you don't fight them because they don't pray sunnah. Right? You don't fight them because they don't pray sunnah. Unless that sunnah prayer is a prayer that is considered one of the sha'air al-Islam, one of the rituals of Islam. Like, let's say a whole community, and they don't pray Eid at all. They don't pray, some of the scholars say, if they don't pray Eid, even though it's sunnah, but to not establish the Eid prayer when it is a well-known sha'air, a well-known ritual of Islam. And it is, of course, it's not mandatory upon every individual, but it's mandatory upon the community. Which means if nobody in the community prays Eid, then everybody is in sin. That means everybody is abandoning prayer. Everybody is abandoning a prayer that's obligatory. Do you understand? If nobody prays it, and let's say if you have a whole town or whole city, they say, no, we don't pray Eid. We don't get together. We don't pray Eid. Eid is mandatory upon the community. That means that if no one prays Eid, that means they're abandoning a prayer that's mandatory. But if some of them pray the Eid prayer, they establish it, and some people don't make it to the prayer, because it's not mandatory. Let's say you miss Eid prayer. Are you sinful? It's not. Let's say you have work and you're like, you can't get off work. Now, is it mandatory? It's not mandatory. You should try to get off work, but sometimes, you know, you get off work, you're too late, you procrastinate, and you ask for a day off. Your boss says, you know what? You know this whole company, right? Most are Muslims. We don't have anyone else to work. You didn't ask early enough. Everybody already took. I can't find people to replace you. And this is all we have. We have no leeway here. We need people to be in this area to do this work every single day. And if we're not going to have anybody, then this company is going to, you know, face a lot of hardships today. So no, we're not going to. We can't allow you to go pray Eid. If that's the case, then you can just, okay, you go to work, inshallah. And even it's not mandatory upon individuals, but it's mandatory upon the community. So the wa yuqimu salat. I have been ordered to fight them until they establish prayer. And so the prayer here are the obligatory prayers. Wa yu'tu zakah, and that they give the zakat, meaning they give the zakat that's appropriate, the correct zakat. Because some people, they might, let's say, okay, well, yeah, we give zakat, right? We give zakat, like we give taxes, or we pay our taxes, for example. We pay our taxes, or they give zakat incorrectly, and they say, okay, you know what? Let's just give zakat to our, you know, to our friends only, to our family members, and say we give zakat. Right? And they say, okay, we're going to just, you know, so that we don't lose money, you know, like, hey, son, here's the zakat money. When somebody comes, just tell them, I already gave you zakat. That's not the proper zakat. That means the zakat that's given has to be the correct zakat. The zakat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to give to the appropriate people. Right? So if they say that it's not mandatory, for example, and anytime somebody says, prayer is not mandatory, even if they pray, that's an act of kufr. Not the act itself, but to believe that it's not mandatory. The five daily prayers is not mandatory, it's kufr. And there are some things that if you don't believe that they are mandatory, that actually takes a person outside the state of Islam. And these are known as umur, the things that are ma'lum fi deen bi darura. That these are well-known, established facts in Islam. So if somebody were to come and say, alcohol is halal, I believe alcohol is halal. And then you might say, right, alcohol is halal. Like, you know, that's what I believe, but I'm a Muslim. I pray five times a day. Because of the fact that every Muslim who prays five times a day knows that alcohol is not halal. That belief, that act, that takes a person outside the state of Islam. There's no room for differing opinions here. There's no room for differing opinions. And so, prayer, five daily prayers. If somebody says, you know what, prayer is obligatory, but not the Fajr prayer. Like in the morning, it's too hard. 4 o'clock in the morning, yeah. Not obligatory. Like we can just pray. You don't have to pray Fajr. Just pray the other prayers that are easier. The Fajr prayer, you don't have to pray. Any of the obligatory prayers, the five daily prayers, or believing that the five daily prayers are not mandatory, or believing any of the five daily prayers being not mandatory, that belief in itself, it's so well known that there are five prayers that are mandatory, that it takes a person outside the state of Islam. Of course, after you establish the fact, because sometimes new Muslims might not know this, right? If they're new Muslims, maybe they're brand new, they don't know, right? But if it's established fact, and that's why the next one is when we mention the zakat, during the time of the Prophet, during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he fought the apostates. He fought the apostates when they refused to give zakat. Right, when they refuse to give zakat. And we'll elaborate a little bit more on that. So the Prophet ﷺ then said, فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ That means if they do these things, شَهَدَتْ أَلَّا إِلَهَ لَلَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ And they establish prayer. And they give zakat. عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ Then their self, their life, their blood, meaning their, you know, their self, they are protected, their lives are protected, and their wealth is protected. Meaning it is not permissible for me to kill anyone, right, to kill them if they say La ilaha illallah. And it is not permissible for me to take anybody's wealth, money, wealth, when they say La ilaha illallah. Why? Because they've already accepted Islam. So once you accept Islam, you're protected, your life is protected, and your wealth is protected. Illa bihaq al-Islam, except for the right of Islam. What is haq al-Islam? Except for that which in Islam it allows you to be killed. Which means that if you have committed some crime, that killing is one of the punishments for it. Like a person who commits zina, if they're already married. And that's why it's a major sin. It's a mortal sin to the point where if somebody's married and they commit zina, it's not like somebody who's not married yet. Once somebody's married and they commit zina, that is a major sin that has a specific punishment for it. That has qisas and others, of course. So anything that is you're not allowed to kill anyone except for those, unless they do some of those acts, that there is qisas. وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى That means what? That all of these deeds, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the end, he has been ordered to call people. Call people. When you that's why here uqatilu an-nas umirtu an uqatilu an-nas I have been ordered to kill, that means what? Or to order to fight. I have been ordered to deliver this message. I have been ordered to call people to this message, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, to establish the prayer and to give the zakat. I have been ordered to deliver this message. If I am prevented from delivering this message, Then there's no other option, then I have to fight. Then we have to fight. And that's why there are some countries, when the Muslims went, they allowed the Muslims to go in. Yes, go ahead, you know, come in. And you know, you can deliver the message to the people. But some of them say, no, I'm not going to accept Islam. Some of them say, I'm going to remain a Christian. I'm going to remain a Jew. Are we allowed to allow them to do that? Yes, we are. Right? We're ordered to fight. Does that mean that we are to kill all the Jews? All the Christians and Jews? No. If they allow us to go in and deliver the message, let the people hear. Let the people hear. So if they open their doors to allow us to deliver the message, then we don't kill them. We don't kill them because they allowed us to deliver the message to the people. Like this is, we came here to call you to La ilaha illallah. Right? We came here to call you to La ilaha illallah. And they, now the Muslims have, you know, authority and control over this to speak to the people, have control. And that's why, you know, in a non-Muslim country, this is jihad fi sabilillah, is to allow us to call people. And so if we are able to deliver the message of La ilaha illallah, to invite people to La ilaha illallah, and they accept the message, alhamdulillah. But let's say if they don't accept, you know, because you have some countries or some places, some towns, like, you know, we won't, but we come in, we allow you to come in. We allow you to come in, and you know, the Muslims they would come, and they, you know, have authority over that land now, right? But if they don't want to accept, as long as they pay the jizya. What is jizya? This is because they don't pay zakat. The non-Muslims, are they say, oh no, I'm Christian, I don't need to pay zakat. Yeah, you don't need to pay zakat, but you still have to pay for your protection. Right? Just like any other country, you have to pay your taxes. If you don't pay your taxes, how are you getting the services and protection that's necessary, that's needed? So that's why the jizya is less than, actually normally, you know, it's less than the zakat and the sadaqah that Muslims give. Like Muslims are the most generous, even in America, Muslims are the most generous of all people in terms of the percentage of money that they give. The percentage of money that they give. And so, وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. If they, of course, their reckoning is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their reckoning is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith is a foundation in the permissibility of fighting people, and which means that what's the reason for it? It's to deliver this message. So that means the default is that you don't fight people for any other reason. For any other reason, right? So you don't fight people for any other reason. You do so because you want to deliver the message of La ilaha illallah. And that's jihad. أن تكون كلمة الله أن تكون كلمة كلمة الله هي العليا. That the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest. That the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the highest. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so what are some of the benefits in this hadith? We mentioned some of them already. What are some of the benefits from the wording also in the hadith? Umirtu here is what I have been ordered, which means what? This is an indication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a servant of Allah. Is a servant of Allah. That Allah orders him. And so whatever he's been ordered to do, just like others, like we've been ordered by Allah, he's been ordered by Allah also. Right? He's been ordered by Allah. And we have been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was, of course, the leader of the Muslims, which means what? Which means in the Muslim community, we are ordered to deliver this message, to call to La ilaha illallah. So everything, the foundation of our deen is based on La ilaha illallah. Is based on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And when we make, as a Muslim country, when we make decisions, everything is based on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Which means what? Which means that if sometimes they might do this and they might do that to a Muslim country, but if we hold on, if one thing that we don't compromise is our deen, is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And so if somebody comes to a Muslim country and they might say like, okay, listen, you know, you can, we will give you this and we will give you that, everything, and we'll give you peace and everything like that, an exception that you don't become Muslim, right? That you follow our religion and we'll take care of you. And then, so that's why this is the basic principle. If somebody comes and forces us, then we fight back. And so everything that we do is for the sake of Allah. Everything that we do is based off of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So remember the first thing we said, Umirtu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi himself is a prophet and messenger of God also. That means he's a servant of Allah. Umirtu, I have been ordered. He's been ordered just like everyone else. Another benefit we have here is that it's permissible to use the passive voice. Like, you know, we have been ordered to pray. If it's already known that Allah is the one that's ordering us, right? So to use the passive voice without saying who is it that actually ordered. And so this particular hadith also indicates that it is mandatory. This order is something that's mandatory. That means it's wajib. That means if we leave it, if we don't follow these orders, then we are in the state of sin, which means this order is something that's mandatory. It's not like we're not talking about individually. Of course, you can go, okay, I've been ordered to fight you until you say La ilaha illallah, right? No, this is for a Muslim, Muslim country. Like to apply some of these, you know, to have an army and so forth, for when a khilafah is established, and Allah Subhanahu knows best. So it's mandatory until people establish these acts. And why do we say that it's not just something that is? Why do we say that it's not something that's just sunnah, like it's recommended? Why do we say you have to, it's mandatory? Because wajib means you'll be rewarded for doing it, but if you don't do it, then you're deserving of punishment, meaning sin. It's a sin. So why did the scholars say that's mandatory? The reason is because fighting someone is the default is that it's not permissible. The default is not permissible. When it is made permissible, when something that by default is not permissible is made permissible, that means that act is mandatory. So like, for example, some of the scholars mentioned an example, the khitan. What is khitan? Khitan is circumcision. Circumcision is cutting a portion, a part of your body, right? It's a part, it's the foreskin. It's cutting it off. The default of any parts of our body, especially the parts of parts of the body that causes pain and bleeding and so forth, what is the ruling on that? The ruling on that is that it's haram. Like somebody can say, oh, it's my ears, I can cut it off, right? Like I can cut off my ears. This is not something that's permissible. That's something, but by the way, in this country, subhanAllah, right? In this country, people now have surgery to cut off their private parts. La ilaha illallah, right? And even if you're young, as a young person, somebody wants to change where they go to a doctor, and you know, they will do it for them for free. Yeah. There are people who will support that, and they think that it's okay, like to cut off. So this is like, what? It's permissible for you to cut that off? You, because you want to be, I don't want to be a man anymore, right? What if somebody says, I don't want to, I just want one hand, or I don't want a nose, or I just want one leg, right? Is it permissible in terms of a law? What would we say with that about that person? Like what? Like you're mentally ill, right? Like somebody, this person needs help. He has two hands, and he wants to cut one hand off. Or he has five fingers, but he just wants four instead. I have freedom, right? Cut four. What do you think? What do we say about that person? Now, I mean, what do we call that person? Like he's sick, mentally ill, right? You would like, hey, you know, I think you need help. I think you need help, right? Isn't that person, don't we say that that person needs help? If somebody says, I want my hand to get cut off, or I want one finger to be cut off, I don't want my toes. Like, you know what, I think you need help. Wait, stop, don't go to the doctor to get that cut off. This is not normal. This is not normal. And then somebody wants their private part to get cut off, and you're saying that's normal? Ya Allah. Astaghfirullah. The people are sick. People are sick. And they think that that's normal. That's not normal. It's not normal for someone to want to have their any part of their body get cut off, right? It's not normal. But part of the part that's permissible, right, is the khitan. Khitan itself is what? Is the cutting off of the foreskin. And this is part of the fitrah. And why do we, there's a hadith that mentions that part of the fitrah, of course, khamsa min al-fitrah, five things amongst the fitrah. One is al-khitan. Normally, you don't, cutting off any part of the body is not permissible, but when it becomes when there's an order for it, that means that that action is obligatory, because the default is that it's not permissible. And when there's an order for it, then it's permissible. So if somebody cuts the foreskin off, that's, of course, we know that for health reasons and so forth, that's something that you're not really, you're not cutting out, you're not changing anything. And so the it's permissible, that which is mandatory, that which is ordered to be cut off becomes, if it is, the default is not, that's not, it's not permissible, then the order comes in, then that action becomes mandatory. So just like normally you don't fight somebody, but if you order to fight to do this, that means it's not just sunnah, it's mandatory, because the default is not permissible to go around, you know, fighting people, right? So that's why the scholars have mentioned here that it is fard, mandatory, and the scholars have generally mentioned that, of course, al-jihad, sometimes it's fard kifaya, and sometimes it's fard ayn. What's fard kifaya? Fard kifaya means it is just as long as a few people, a group of people, not everyone has to go and fight, right? Not everyone has to go, as long as a few people, and there's enough people that are taking those responsibilities, then the whole ummah is no longer in sin. Right, no longer in sin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً. It is not mandatory. In other words, it's not mandatory upon all the believers to all go. I mean, to all go and fight. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُ قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. Because why? Not all of you need to go fight jihad fi sabilillah. If a group of people go fight, and then a group of people go learn their deen, right? Because when you're learning your deen, it's a form of jihad fi sabilillah also. So this one, you can, you know, if people are taking the initiative, then the regular people, the normal people, so you have to have people who go out and study the deen. So if you have a community, let's say this community, people don't know how to distribute the inheritance, right? Nobody knows how to distribute it. When somebody dies, you don't know who to go to, and there's no one who has this knowledge, then everyone is in sin until somebody goes and studies and learns. And learning the Qur'an and tafsir is mandatory. So if you don't have an imam, or you don't have a teacher, you don't have people who you can access and ask, then the whole community is in sin until somebody goes and learns the deen. And so that's what fard kifaya means. If somebody fulfills that objective, then the obligation is no longer upon the rest. And so, another benefit is that it's mandatory to, when you say La ilaha illallah, to believe with your heart, just utter it with your tongue, right? To utter your heart, to believe in your heart, and you're uttering with your tongue also. Why? Because if somebody says, and they don't say La ilaha illallah, but they say, no, later on they're like, oh, I was actually, why are you guys fighting me? We said La ilaha illallah inside. No, you have to pronounce La ilaha illallah, to say it out loud. And of course, when somebody believes that the shahada, the complete shahada of Muhammad Rasulullah also, then you stop, you don't fight them. You don't fight them because they are people who have testified that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Also, the establishing prayer. Some of the, you know, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of the companions were ordered, before you attack any town, you go in any town, to listen. If you hear the adhan in the fajr time, listen for the adhan. Like in fajr morning, it's very quiet, right? If you hear the adhan, then you don't attack. If you don't hear the adhan, which means what? That means they, this is not a Muslim town. Not Muslim town. That's, this is not a Muslim town. So they wait in the morning to listen for the adhan of fajr. If it's not, if you hear the adhan, you know that they're Muslims. So because, which means what? Which means any town that does not establish a prayer or the adhan, then they, that's how you determine whether someone, this town is Muslim or not. Which means it's obligatory. It's obligatory to establish that, the adhan. And it's one of the sha'ir, or one of the rituals of Islam. And so, إِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ, and if they do that, then you stay away and you don't fight them. عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. And also, دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. What's أَمْوَالَهُمْ? Their wealth. Their wealth, that means if they don't accept Islam, are we allowed to accept their wealth, take away their wealth? Yes, when you fight. When you're fighting them, and then they lose and you can take their wealth. And what's their wealth? That's the ghanaim. That's the spoils of war. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uqitu khamsan." I have been given five things. Lam yu'tahunna ahadun min al-anbiya'i qabli. I have been given five things that the prophets before were never given. They were never given. They didn't have this. These five things are specific for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or specific for this ummah. Nusirtu bir-ru'bi masirata shahr. I have been given victory or help with ru'b. Ru'b means the enemy trembles and fears you. A month, masirata shahr, that means a month before you meet them. 1 month before you meet them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already struck them. Before you strike them with your sword, Allah strikes them in their heart already. That they're trembling already. This is something that's been given specifically. وَجُعِلَتْ لِلْأَرْضِ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, وَجُعِلَتْ لِي, and it was made for me, who? Allah. It was made for me. The earth, a masjid. What is a masjid? I mean a place to make sujood, a place to pray. Wa tahura. Tahur is that which you use to purify yourself. Tahur, which is the earth. The earth has been made for us as a masjid and a place for prayer. Or a masjid, I mean a place for prayer and a means of purification. So if you don't have water, you can still pray. If you don't have a place for prayer, the whole earth is a place for prayer. Which means what? All the prophets before, Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa, all the previous prophets, they have to pray in designated places when it's time to pray. You can't pray anywhere. Prayer is only in musallayat, the places that are designated for prayer. So the masajids, the places of prayer, even if you were to pray in your home, these are specific areas only for prayer. You can't do anything else that's designated specific for prayer. In this ummah, we can pray anywhere. We can pray in the field. We can pray this. We can pray here and there. And the next, and we'll end it with this, with the hadith, inshallah. وَأُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْغَنَائِمُ وَلَمْ تَحِلَّ لِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِي. And the spoils of war had been made halal for me, and it was not made halal for anyone before. Before, what did they used to do? Before, they would gather all of the wealth, let's say, everything that they captured from the enemy, no one's allowed to take it and use it. No Muslim is allowed to use it. Before, during the time of Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa, and all the other prophets and messengers, when they went out in jihad fi sabilillah, and they took the wealth. Why? Because some people might like, oh, you were fighting. Well, you know what? We might get this and we might get that. No, you're not going to get anything. You're fighting solely for the sake of Allah. You're not going to get a single thing. If you get anything, these are things that are valuable. They would gather in one place. And you know what would happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send a fire and burn it all. And it would be gone. Nobody would benefit from the spoils of war. And so this is something that was specific for this ummah, that we are allowed to use the property and wealth of those who are conquered, those who are conquered. So inshallah, with that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits and benefits from that which taught us. Inshallah, anyone have any questions in relation to what we covered? If not, inshallah, next week we'll continue again. We have a few things relating to this hadith, but then we're going to go next to the next hadith. And the hadith is, مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِّبُوهُ وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. This particular hadith forms a strong foundation in fiqh also, so we'll cover that next week, inshallah. Yes. Yeah, you found it.